KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, light snow and blowing snow continues here in Atlantic. We picked up 0.4 inch since 7 a.m. for a total of 1.3 inches outside the KJAN studios. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the news. Our weather forecast for today, winter weather advisory is in effect and for the entire listing area until 6 p.m. We look for anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of snow here in the Atlantic area today. And because of the snow, several schools are either running late or have canceled classes for today. Let's run down the latest list of cancellations quickly for you. There's no school today at AHSTW, East Mills, Essex, Logan Magnolia, Missouri Valley, or Riverside. Also no classes today for Trainer, Tri-Center, and Underwood. Two-hour late starts are in store today for Atlantic ACGC, where classes start at 10:20 and offices there open at 10 a.m. Bedford, Cam, also Clarinda, and Essex are all 2 hours late. Fremont Mills is 90 minutes late this morning. Griswold, Harlan, and the Shelby County Catholic Schools. Red Oak, also Stanton, West Harrison, and Woodbine are 2 hours late. There is a 2 hour late start for the Atlantic Head Start. And all campuses for Iowa Western Community College will open at 10 a.m. today. Also, separate notes, no morning fitness classes today at the YMCA in Atlantic. Well, taking a look at the news this morning, officials of the Council Bluffs Police Department on Wednesday said that two people, 21-year-old Liam Steck and a 16-year-old male, both from Omaha, were arrested in connection to the death of a man from Council Bluffs. A warrant was issued for a third suspect, 20-year-old Nicholas Hainer of Harlan. Hainer's location was unknown. Anyone with information about his location is urged to contact Council Bluffs Police at 712-328-STOP or 7867 or call 911 if you see him in public. On January 24th, the deceased body of 38-year-old Adam Angroth of Council Bluffs was found inside of his apartment. His family had not heard from him for several days. An autopsy confirmed evidence of foul play in Angroth's death, including blunt force trauma and knife wounds. After conducting numerous interviews and examining physical evidence, detectives were able to obtain murder in the first degree warrants for the three subjects, accusing them of participating in the killing of Angroth. The teenager's name has not officially been released by law enforcement. His case will begin in juvenile court. When and if there is a determination to hear his case as an adult in district court, his identity will become public record. The case still remains under investigation, and authorities say they've not ruled out the possibility that additional arrests may be forthcoming. Again, if you have any information on that case, contact the Council Bluffs Police Department detectives at 712-328-4728. Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson yesterday was warning the public about some new twists on a couple of old grandchild in trouble, need money, phone scams.
One of them was, this is Officer So-and-so, sorry for my voice, I have a cold, but your grandson was in an accident, he was doing whatever, we found drugs and guns on him, and he needs you to send, you know, $5,000 or whatever to this P.O. box, but don't tell nobody, you know, but you need to send it here, and then that way he can get out of jail. That's a scam. We don't call people to tell them that their kids are in jail, that they need to bring money to us or anything like that. That's left up to the defendant.
The second scam Erickson was talking about has a person claiming to be a grandchild and asks the potential victim, do you know who this is?
Well, it could be Bob. Well, it's about time you recognize my voice. I'm in jail. I got in trouble. I need, you know, $7,000 to get out. You need to send it FedEx to a P.O. box.
Erickson said it doesn't work that way in real life. In real life, you would have to deliver the funds to the jail directly, or a bail bondsman would handle the funds. The scams have been around for a long time, but Erickson said the scammers are making changes to how those scams are carried out.
They're adding different things to it to trick people into thinking that's their grandson or granddaughter that's in jail, and they're, you know, and I don't want the public to fall for it. You know, if they got questions, they can call in. You know, if they get one of them scams, call it in and report it. But if they get one of those phone calls and they're not sure, give us a call.
Erickson says as far as he knows, no one locally has fallen for the phone scam, but they are being received by area residents.
The one lady called the other day. Her grandson was supposedly here in Cass County. He was not on the jail roster. He'd never been. And we don't want the public to be losing their money out there.
In the past, he said some people have fallen for the scam in various forms. One person was even at the bank ready to send money, but couldn't figure out how to do so. Fortunately, that individual checked with local authorities and was informed about the scam. Erickson says just be aware of what's going on out there and watch the scams. Erickson, who is himself a grandparent, says the scammers are betting on the kind hearts of the elderly to fall victim to the schemes. Two men from Creston were arrested on separate Union County warrants Wednesday. 29-year-old Anthony Allen Short II was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for failure to appear on an original driving while license denied, suspended, or revoked charge. His cash-only bond was set at $300. And Creston police say 28-year-old Alex Richard Cunningham was arrested on three warrants for pretrial release violation. He was being held in the Union County Jail without bond until seen by a magistrate. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer yesterday said that there were two arrests on Wednesday. 39-year-old Michael Wayne England II of Clarinda was arrested for driving while license barred. England was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $2,000 bond. On March the 2nd, 47-year-old Jeff Harrison of rural Clarinda was arrested at the Page County Sheriff's Office on a Page County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Harrison posted a $300 bond and was released pending further court proceedings. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday there were three arrests on Tuesday. 27-year-old Shailia K. Cozard of Pacific Junction was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, unlawful possession of prescription drugs, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Her bond was set at $2,300. 42-year-old Travis Hanley of Glenwood was arrested Tuesday for possession of drug paraphernalia, and he was cited for speeding. His bond was set at $300. And 37-year-old David Jonathan Barnes of Papillion, Nebraska, was arrested on a fugitive from justice warrant, along with possession of contraband in a jail facility, and his bond was set at $5,000. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports four prisoners from the Douglas County, Nebraska jail were transported to Pott County Corrections Wednesday or Tuesday to address their respective warrants, and one was transported to Pott County from Crawford County. Among those transported from Nebraska was 49-year-old Hector Alonzo Aguilar on warrants for willful injury resulting in serious injury and two counts of child endangerment. 23-year-old Chance Parker Featherstone on a warrant for escape from custody, 29-year-old Eric L. Wilson for theft in the first degree, and 37-year-old Brandon Edward Drummer for violation of probation. In addition, 32-year-old Carl Allen Jansen was transported from Crawford County to address a warrant for parole violation, and he was booked into the Pott County Jail. In other state news, casinos in Sioux City and Jefferson agreed to fines of $20,000 each at the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission meeting this week for violation of rules. Iowa Racing and Gaming Administrator Brian Orilko says the Hard Rock Casino in Sioux City agreed to a $20,000 fine after they experienced outages in security camera coverage between December of 2017 and August of 2018.
Rules require different types of surveillance coverage for different areas. And the particular situation at Hard Rock, there were multiple cameras that were down. In some instances, that's not necessarily a problem. And in other cases, it could be.
Orilko says the large number of outages figured into the amount of the fine, along with the lag in reporting the problem.
It was a situation where it wasn't immediately reported to the commission staff. And this business is about a large part of compliance is about voluntary reporting.
And Hard Rock General Manager Jim Frankie apologized to the Racing and Gaming Commission.
As a company, we do take great pride in how we train our staff to follow rules and regulations set forth by the IRGC and to fully cooperate with IRGC and DCI personnel. Actions that diminish or otherwise negatively impact the culture of compliance are not and will not be tolerated.
Frankie says the supervisors knew the procedures and it was frustrating to find out that they were not followed.
During the same period of time when the cables were causing these camera failures, we experienced three other equipment malfunctions that were all reported and addressed appropriately. We have no indication of why they would and can't understand why these weren't disclosed in the same manner.
And Frankie says they have taken steps to ensure the surveillance video is handled properly. The fine against the Hard Rock could have been as high as $25,000. The other violation involved the Wild Rose Casino in Jefferson, which was fined $20,000 for allowing a minor onto the gambling floor in November. She gambled and was on the floor for 40 minutes before staff identified her. General Manager Travis Dvorak spoke to the commission.
We take responsible gaming seriously, and we take underage gaming very seriously. In the 3.5 years that we've been operating, we've had over 1.6 million admissions, and this is our first and only violation of this nature.
Dvorak says they worked with employees to ensure that this doesn't happen again, and he said they're getting everyone at the facility involved. The fines for underage gambling violations are based on the number of violations in a 365-day period, an increase with each violation. Quick update now for you. The Griswold Community School District, which was running 2 hours late today, has decided to cancel classes for today. That would be a actually a cancellation for the Griswold School District. No school there today, and that is a change from last hour's report, or the last report we had. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.